How shall the young secure their hearts? If you'll notice from that page in your songbook, it references Psalms 119, verse 9. And that, of course, is going to be where we look at this topic. Verses 9 through 16 forms a little paragraph in Psalms 119. I want us to think about what Solomon wrote 3,000 years ago. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, Solomon wrote, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" When is the time to remember your Creator? In the days of your youth. In the days of your youth. Well, 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul wrote this to young Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, he said, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." While you are young is the time to anchor your life in God and His Word, to honor Him. He's the one that made you. He's the one that gave you life. As we're going to see from our text today, the Bible informs young people how to secure their hearts, how they need to go about doing it. But it's not just for young people. As you're going to see by the end of the lesson, what we're going to look at in these few verses will apply to all of us. There are things that you and I, all of us, regardless of our age, regardless of how long we've been in the church or not, will profit from. Psalms 119. And we're going to begin looking at verse 9. "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word." There's the first principle. How shall the young secure their hearts? By taking heed to the word. What does taking heed mean? If your parents tell you to do something, what does it look like for you to take heed? Well, you listen and obey. It's that simple. So taking heed to God's Word means listening to and obeying God's Word, because He says this is the only way to cleanse your way. This is the only path to cleanse your way. This is the only method to cleanse your way, is by listening to and obeying God's Word. We go back a few pages to Psalms 24. We read, beginning in verse 3, "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who's not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." The Bible never becomes obsolete or irrelevant. It never becomes obsolete. It's just as relevant and vital and necessary and up-to-date today as it was when it was finished being written almost 2,000 years ago. That's how vital it is. It's a book for all ages. It's a book for the ages, and it's a book for all ages. No one is too young or too old to learn and profit from it. Timothy, that we just talked about, was reminded that he had known the sacred scripture from the time he was an infant. From the time he was an infant. From the time he was a baby, he was taught holy scriptures. And so these basic principles of God, Christ, the Bible, they need to be taught to babies. They need to be taught to babies. Teach young ones how to say God, Jesus, and the Bible. We always want them to say their first words, you know, Mama or Daddy. But it'd be wonderful if their first words were God, Jesus, and the Bible. See, that's how young we need to teach them. As they grow, from infants to toddlers to preschoolers, we need to teach them those Bible fundamentals. Those stories, those great stories from the Bible. Old and New Testament. They need to hear all of those things. Their capacity to learn is enormous. Much more so than us older people. I'm no longer in my 50s and it's very sad. But us older people, it's much easier for younger people. They just have a greater capacity to learn. So teach them. Make sure they learn the right things. Make sure they learn the right things. They're going to learn a lot of wrong things just by being in the world. But make sure they learn the right things. The Bible says that bodily exercise profits a little. And what it means by that is bodily exercise profits for a little time. We need bodily exercise, but the profit we get from it is only for a little time. Whereas Paul tells Timothy that godliness profits forever. Godliness profits forever. So that's why teaching is so very important. They need to learn the Word. They need to also learn how to teach their religious friends what the Bible teaches, whether it's about salvation or about the church or about the next life or about worship. I learned a lot of those things right here in this building a long time ago. They still stick with me. That's how important it is. Number two, back to our text in Psalms 119, verse 10. The first part of it says, "With my whole heart I have sought you." How shall the young secure their hearts? By being totally committed to the Lord. Partial allegiance is in some ways worse than no allegiance at all. That's why the Lord told the church in Laodicea, "I wish you were hot or cold. But because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth." Partial allegiance is no good. Youth need to seek God while they can. While they can. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6, notice this advice. "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near." There may come a time when you can't do that. So while you can, don't waste the opportunities. He says, do it while you can. Wholehearted dedication is what Christ desires of His people. Remember what He said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:33. "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." In other words, that's your top priority. But that's everybody's top priority, young and old and everywhere in between. All decisions should be based upon Matthew 6:33. "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Every decision needs to be made based upon that, regardless of your age. So how shall the young secure their heart? Being totally committed to the Lord. Number three is in the second part of verse 10, where the psalmist says, "Oh, let me not wander from your commitments or your commandments." So step number three is by not backsliding. I can think of so many people that I grew up with that are about my age that are no longer faithful in any sense of the word. And I'm sure you can too. So many. So here the psalmist is warning young people, let me not wander. Let me not backslide. Let me not be lost. At times, especially during one's younger days, it seems so easy to stray from the Bible's teachings. Whether it's missing services on a regular basis, being disobedient to parents, associating with the wrong people, starting to drink, starting to do drugs, on and on and on it goes. On and on. Going one more time to Isaiah 55. I want us to read this time. We read verse 6. Now notice what verse 7 says of Isaiah 55. Verse 7 says, Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God is waiting for you to come back. That's what he says. The wicked needs to forsake his way, unrighteous man his thoughts, and return to the Lord. Return, because God will have mercy upon him. But how do you do that? And what does that look like? And how do you guard yourself against those things? Well, Peter, when he wrote his second letter in 2 Peter chapter 1, gives some sound advice about how to do that. Some practical, everyday advice. In 2 Peter chapter 1, he begins in verse 5. He says, this is how you do that. This is how you keep from backsliding. He says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. How do you keep from backsliding? By continuing to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and perseverance, and godliness. That's how you keep from backsliding, is by adding these things to you. These are things you need to pray to God that you will add. Add these things. Sometimes they're called Christian graces. Add these things to your life and make it a point to try and add these things, whether it's self-control or godliness or perseverance or whatever, brotherly kindness, love. He says, if you have those and they're abundant, you abound in them, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful. You're not going to backslide if you make a point to add these things to your life. That's how you need to do that. That's going to keep you from losing your heart. Number 4 is found in verse 11 in our text. Psalms 119, verse 11. This is the fourth thing about how shall the young secure their hearts. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. If we don't fill our heart with the word, then every type of philosophy and false religion and false teaching and everything else is going to fill it. We, especially young people, are bombarded with false philosophies and false teachings of every kind imaginable. Whether it's in school, whether it's on the internet or on TV or in video games or whatever, we're just inundated with ungodliness, humanism, naturalism, evolution, secularism, and it goes on and on and on. Sometimes it comes at us like a cannon and shot it, but sometimes it's very subtle. Sometimes those things are very subtle. And if you're not watching for them, they can begin to attack. So we have to be careful about what we fill our heart with. So the psalmist says the best thing to fill your heart with is God's Word. That's the very best thing to fill your heart. And why is that so important? Because it says it keeps us from sinning, that I might not sin against you. There's the very best advice. What do? You fill your heart with God's Word. We need to memorize verses. I'm glad to see we're seeing a little bit of shifting in education back to some memorizing. I think memorizing is so, so important. Well, if it's important in school, it's way more important in our Christianity to memorize God's Word. And specifically, memorize verses that deal with specific sins. Remember, this is how Jesus responded to the devil in the wilderness when he was tempted. Satan would typically twist God's word and pervert it in some way to try and get Jesus to do something wrong. So Jesus would respond with these three words: "It is written. It is written. It is written." So by memorizing God's word, and especially dealing with certain sins, then it helps us resist it. So remember how Christ did it in the wilderness. Fill your heart with the word. Number 5 is found in verse 12. "Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes." Be a serious student of the word. You know, there's a difference between reading God's word and studying God's word. I have students at school that they'll read something, but when they're done reading it, they have no clue. They just went right in and just right out. That's not how we need to study God's word. We need to think about what it says. We need to think about the context in which it's written. And we need to think about the meaning of the words. We don't want to just be a casual reader. This is what Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Said, "Timothy, this is what you need to do." 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, he says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That last expression, rightly dividing the word of truth, is the one you need to focus on. It means to cut a straight path through it. That means you read it and you read it again and you try and understand what point is trying to be made. We used to have a science teacher, he's retired now, but whenever he gave a reading assignment to his students, said, "Read it twice. Once isn't good enough." Okay? Read it twice. Well, if you need to read that twice, you need to read God's word more than twice, because it's that much more important. Be a serious student. We must. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Timothy is told something else beginning in verse 14. "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood," that's the word that means from the time you were a baby, "you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." How are you going to be thoroughly equipped? He says it only comes one way, and that's through Scripture. Serious Bible study. Number 6 comes from our text, verse 13. "With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth." All of us, young and old, need to declare our faith courageously. Courageously. He repeats this in verse 46 of chapter 119. "But regardless of who you are with, never be ashamed of being a Christian. Never be ashamed of the Church of Christ. Never be ashamed of that. Never be ashamed to tell people, yes, I go to the Church of Christ in Granby, or I'm a member of the Church of Christ in Granby, or whatever. Never be ashamed of that. Jesus said, "If you confess my name before men, I'll confess your name before my Father in heaven." Of course, the reverse of that is also true. Mark 8:38, "If you do not confess my name before men, I will not confess your name before my Father in heaven." So declare your faith courageously. Number 7 comes from verse 14. "I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches." Form a proper set of values. The younger you form them, the better you off you will be. perform by forming a proper set of values. The psalmist realized the importance of God's Word as compared to the riches of the world. We move down to verse 72 of this same chapter. The psalmist says, "The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver." Gold and silver perishes, comes and goes. Whereas God's Word, its value is through eternity. You're not going to need gold or silver in eternity. God's Word is always of value. Form a proper set of values. Number 8 comes from verse 15. "I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways." Realize that the Bible is the Word of God. It's not just a book. It's not just a good book. It's not just a book of wisdom. It's not just a book that gives good advice. It's the only book that actually came from the only God there is. As we read there in 2 Timothy 3, all Scripture is inspired. It means it comes from God's mind. It came from Him. No other book did. No other book in the world did. Realize that the Bible is the Word of God and that it needs to be respected. It is unique among all books. It's not just a religious book among many religious books. It's the only truly inspired book there is. Number 9, first part of verse 16, "I will delight myself in your statutes." Find joy in being a Christian. Find joy in keeping God's commands. The writer affirms how comforting God's Word is. Notice verse 18. "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law." Wondrous things. Verse 24. "Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." Many times throughout Psalms 119, the writer affirms that God's Word and obeying God's Word brings joy, happiness. We find that in keeping God's commands. And then lastly, the last part of verse 16, "I will not forget your word." Always remember God's word. Start young with this. Start young with it. Determine to always obey the Bible. Focus on God's grace, His mercy, what He has done for you by sending His Son to die on the cross, by shedding His blood. Be able to think about how God has blessed you. I say this is to young people. It's to everybody. It's to everybody. But young people, I urge you to start to remember God in your youth. Start to remember God in your youth. Now, don't put it off. Make Him first above everything else. I hope this has not only helped young people, but all of us. We need to keep our hearts secure. All of us. This morning, you may need to respond to that great gospel invitation. If you do, we urge you to come as well.